same chain of...
Okay. The point that we made before, and we'll come back to it when we get to the top of the next page, okay, is that stira is like a prelude to tuba, okay? But the question is, what is stira? Is it simply to go into somebody's house and come right out again? That's not, you know, that's not stira. Stira would have to be for a period long enough in order to commit tuba. Okay? So on the top of the next page, we're going to see that every Rav has a different idea as to how long that takes. Okay? All right.
But it's not when the initial warning is given. It's
No. You're right. Initial warning is a warning, period. Don't do. She lives with her husband. If he's a kohen, she eats truma and so on and so forth. Okay? As long as she hasn't gone into seclusion after having been warned not to. Okay? Alright, getting back over here to the text of the Gemara. So he says, how do we know that, you know, let's say, you know, she has become involved with tuma, but below kinui uvelo stira, right? The husband never gave a warning. The husband has no witnesses, you know, that she went and she secluded herself after his warning. So the lo mehemon eit echad. How do we know that one witness alone will not be believed in order to what? To usher her to her husband, right? So, Ne'emar kam, here it's written, Ki motzeba ervas dova, in the case of a woman suspected of, you know, misbehavior, right, we find the word dovor, but Ne'emar lahalon, and then later on it says, Al pishnei edim, al pishlosha edim, yokim dover. So ma dover ha'amur lahalon, just as the word dover, which we find, you know, in the latter case, means edim shnayim. So afkan edim shnayim. Okay. So in other words, to simply say, hey, you know, your wife was someplace, and so, but the husband never warned or anything like that. That is not enough. Such a witness is not to be believed. And she's not also to her husband on the basis of that. Tonu Rabbanu, sages said, Eizohi Eidus HaRishona. What do we mean by the Eidus HaRishona? So Zu Eidus Stira. This is how Rashi understood it. This is how he got it, you see. This is his source. That this refers to the fact that after having been warned, she then went into seclusion, and we still need for that two witnesses to say that she had gone into seclusion with the man, right? Eidus achrona, what do we mean by the latter Eidus? So the answer is, zu Eidus tuma, right? This is a witness in order to say, you know, that she had committed adultery, she had defiled herself, okay? All right, so now, the Gemara wants to know the following. Okay, top of Dalit, and says, for kama shir stira. So, how long is the amount of time necessary for her to be in seclusion, kidei tuma, in order to say that she has become defiled? Okay? So, we now find different ideas as to the amount of time necessary for her to have become tameo, right? One says, kidei biyon. In other words, the time long enough to have actual intercourse. Kidei ha'aroha. The amount of time necessary for ha'aroha, which I'll explain in a second. Kidei ha'kofas dekal. The amount of time which it takes to walk around a date tree. Divrei Rabbi Ishmael. This is Rabbi Ishmael's opinion. Okay. Now, Biyo, as we said, this is the actual action of intercourse. Okay? But what is Ha'arah? So Ha'arah is taken, you know, here you have a difference of opinion. One opinion is that Ha'arah is already a violation when let's say the man's genitals touches the woman's genitals. That's all. Not even, in other words, penetration is not necessary. That's already a violation by Hara, okay? But another definition, Hara means actually, you know, the action of intercourse. to the extent that the male organ enters the female organ, okay? Or at least the head of the male organ enters it. That's hara. These are technical definitions. That's what we mean by hara. Okay. In either case, I don't have to tell you. It's not the thing for a man and woman who are not married to each other to be engaged. Right. Okay. All right.
Well, what are the witnesses witnessing?
They're witnessing the time.
The time.
The time.
They're not witnessing the act.
No. Presumably not, okay?
Well, they don't know.
Unless they're looking through the window, I don't know.
One peeping thumb.
Huh?
You're talking one witness.
Right? Yeah, as we said before, right, for one witness, okay.
I'm curious about the palm tree. Now, how does this work? That palm tree, that cup
be? Yeah, right. Okay, got a palm tree. How long does it take to go around it, okay? A minute, 2 minutes, I don't know. I guess it depends on the size of the palm tree and whether you're walking or whether you're running.
Do you go around the trunk or do you go around the outer perimeter of the palm leaves?
That's a good point. That's true.
Yeah, I assume it means going around the trunk, I think. Of course, it would take less time to do that than it would to go around where the leaves are. Yeah. All right, anyway, this is Rabbi Ishmael's opinion.
Really Gonzalez.
Okay, yes. As we said, okay, you ask a very good question. Because until now we've said that stira means simply going into seclusion, right?
Tumah.
And tumah means the actual action, okay. But as we see from the top of the page over here, kamishir stira, it's kedei tumah. In other words, the amount of time involved in stira is the amount of time that it would take in order to have an act of defilement, okay? And what do we mean by an act of defilement? So Rabbi Ishmael goes into graphic detail. It's kedei biyah, kedei ha'ra, right?
Biyah.
But he wants to give you a time element. So what is the time element? Time that it takes you to go circling around the palm tree. If she's there that long, then we can assume, in other words, that she went to the other stage. Okay. This is his opinion. All right, as we'll see. First of all, let's take a look at the Rashi over here. Kedei tumah, top of the page.
Mm-hmm.
You see it? Okay. Mahu kedei tumah. What do we mean by kedei tumah? The amount of time in order for her to become defiled. It's kedei biya. In other words, it means the amount of time it would take for her to have intercourse. Mahu kedei biya. So now the question is, and how much time is involved with that? So he says, kedei ha'ra. We're not talking here about, let's say, going on and on and on until finally, you know, the act is completed. We're talking even about the very first stage, namely the Haidin Neshikas Aver, the Osa Mokom. Okay? The amount of time that it takes, literally, for the male organ to kiss the female organ. Okay? But as I said, you know, this is a question. Does it mean simply that, you know, the genital organs are simply, you know, they come in contact with each other, which is one opinion? Or does it mean the hachnosis ator? In other words, the head of the penis enters. The amount of time, that already is enough already to be considered bia. Okay? So, what does Rabbi Yishmael say? He says that, you know, Kedei hakof v'kamashiro, how long would it take? It says kedei hakof as dekel, for the amount of time that it takes to go around a palm tree. Sheyuchal hodam leilech sevivos hadekel. A person can walk around the palm tree. When they come in the foresh, later on they're going to explain lomali lemistei kulhan. Why do we need all these various definitions that are following right now? So now we take a look and we see more definitions as to what the amount of time would be involved in Kadesh Tira. Okay? Rabbi Eliezer Oymer. Rabbi Eliezer says the amount of time would be Kadesh Mizigas HaKais. Long enough in order to take a cup of wine and mix it with water. Because in those days, they did not drink wine which was not mixed with water. It was so strong that they had to always dilute it. Okay. Rashi, Kedei Mizigas Kos, you see it? Says, Lemozgo B'mayim. In other words, to mix it together with water. Ustam kos, and this is already a halachic point, what do we mean by a kos? How much is the quantity, in other words, of a kos? So he says, revis. It would have to be a kos big enough to hold a revis of wine. And of course, we know that, for example, for Kiddush Friday night, it's a tradition, right, that you have to have a revis wine. But you're not yotze if you don't make Kiddush over revis. This is why the cups that we use have at least a revis in quantity, probably a little bit more to be on the safe side, okay?
Like 2.5.
Of course, it's revis ahin. This is really what the why it says revis, because revis means fourth, literally. So in the Torah, we have revis ahin, a fourth of a hin. So all that you have to do is to know what is a hin. Go measure it. I don't know if you have to measure a hin or you have to measure a hair.
Hin and a hair.
All right, Rabbi Yehoshua, he comes in with a different one. He says, "Kedei l'shtoisei," in order to drink it. In other words, he says I think that what he means over here the amount of time that's necessary to mix the water and the wine and drink it. Okay, which of course then would be a shear a little bit longer than Rabbi Eliezer's. Okay. Ben Azrai, he comes in with a different share. Ben Azrai Omri says, "Kedei l'shtoisei beitza." He says it's the amount of time necessary in order to roast an egg. Now, obviously, that takes a little bit longer time than the other. Okay. Right. Rabbi Akiva Omer, he says, "Kedei l'goma." It's the amount of time necessary in order to swallow this egg. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseiro Omer, he comes along and says, "Kedei l'gmoya shalosh beitzim zu achadzu." No, it's the amount of time necessary to swallow three eggs one after another. I hate to think with the shiur about the eating hot dogs the way they do in Nathan's and Coney Island, you know, every year. Yeah, right. But at any rate, each one obviously has a different idea as to how much time would be involved in order to know that she had come to you see, okay?
See, actually, it's too bad, because if they had the benefit of our modern technology, low-tech technology,
would
make this a very easy case to prove, because you would just have someone sit out there with an egg timer, right? And then one or three of them, and if they went off, that'd be it. It'd be a definite, they'd tweak them in their radar or something.
I'm sure that they had some kind of timing devices.
Yeah, sandglass. Yeah.
In those days, right, they measured either, let's say, through water going through an hourglass or something like that. I mean, that's the way they told time in those days. Or maybe sand going through an hourglass. Yeah, sundial, of course. I mean, that's even more so. But, you know, I'm thinking in terms of a small amount of time. How did they measure it? But the sundial, of course, is a very old business. I mean, so that you would know, based on the position of the shadow, as to where the sun is,
and
what time it is, and so on. Yeah. Yeah, we're not finished yet over here. Here comes a new one. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yubi Oimer, he says, "Kedei l'kshor gardi nimor." It says it's the amount of time that it would take a gardi. A gardi is a weaver, all right? The amount of time it would take a weaver in order to tie together the threads is what he's weaving. Now, obviously, that requires more time, right? And so, obviously, it's a different time than what we said before. Chanan ben Pinchas, he comes with another one. He says, "Omer kedei shetoshet yoda l'soch piho l'tol kesem." He says, it's the amount of time that would take for a woman to stick her hand into a mouth in order to remove like a piece of toothpick from there. Of course, the question is, how deeply is it wedged in over there? Okay. I mean, if you use a toothpick, you know that they break sometimes on you. And then in that case, you have a job, you know, in order to get it out.
Kesem.
Right, kesem. Kesem is a piece of wood, a splint of wood, okay? So that's why they use it also for a toothpick, kesem, okay? Palimo omer, kedei shetoshet yodo lesal litol kikar. Says it would be the amount of time that it would take for her to stick her hand into a basket in order to get from it a loaf of bread. Well, the Gemara will ask the following question. What kind of a basket are we talking about? And what kind of bread are we talking about? Maybe from one basket it's easier to take it out, and from another basket it's not so easy to take it out. Maybe one type of bread is easier to get out, maybe another type of bread is not so easy to get out. I mean, imagine, I mean, there's a difference between trying to get out, let's say a straight piece of bread or something like an Italian bread, a French bread or something like that, you know, to take a small piece of bread like that as compared to, let's say, trying to take out a round piece of bread like a pumpernickel or something like that, you know. Obviously, one is easier to grasp than the other. So these shiurim, they have to be further interpreted, as we can see, because that's not as easy as all that. But there are possibilities, you see, where the time is not exact. Okay? Now, on this last statement, you know, Palimo, he says...
Did they base all these times on their own experiences?
Absolutely. Take a look. Well, now we'll take a look at the Rashi for a moment. Okay? Rashi, line 4. All right.
Okay.
We already read line 4, but let's review line 4 and continue with the rest of the Rashi statement there. Okay, he says, Kedem Zikaskais, right? And he said, Lebozko b'mayim, right? Mestam kos revius, right? And we said, when we're talking normally about a kos of wine, it has to be a revius. Okay. Now, with a common amrinin, later on, they're going to say the following.
I don't understand. Where
is
the wine coming?
It's a timing.
It's a
timing
device.
No, but we didn't say anything about wine.
In the Rashi. Yeah, Kedem Zigat's kos. What do you mean?
No.
Mezigas kos means that you start with wine and you have to mix it with water to dilute it so it would be drinkable. In those days, the wine was very strong.
Well, I think they use it to mean to mix.
Yeah, limzog is totally right. Right. Limzog means to mix, exactly.
In Roman times, the wine was very, very strong.
Not just Roman times, in the times of our Tanoim.
Well,
obviously,
well,
yeah, it's the same period we're talking about, right?
So that it had to be diluted with water; it could not be imbibed without it. It had to be mixed. They had to take a flagon and pour it into a cup and then add water, and then they could drink it.
Correct.
What can I say to you?
That's exactly what it is. No, it's not just pouring. It's not pouring. It's the... In other words, it's the preparation of the cup of wine by putting in wine and putting in water and mixing them so that they now become drinkable. Okay? That's what we meant. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, now, the next line in the Rashi over there, okay, he says, towards the end of the fourth line, he says, well, come on, he says. Later on, he says, Aminan, we're going to say that kol echod v'echod min ha-chachomim, right? Each and every one of these sages who are mentioned over here, the ha-chachom halolo, right? So, be'atzmo shi'er, he himself estimated, measured literally, he measured kama shehu shoher baharoso, how long it would take for him personally to achieve this excitement which leads to sexual intercourse.
There's not a common denominator with each person.
What's he talking about?
Each have a separate amount of time.
What's he talking about? Foreplay here or what? What's
yeah,
he
yeah,
talking
yeah.
about?
Well,
I don't know.
Okay, look.
One minute you're talking about intercourse, next minute you're talking about getting excited.
Okay, right. As I said, because first of all, with Haro itself, there are two definitions. One, as we said, is simply that the organs come in contact with each other.
Yeah.
Okay, that's arousal, excitement, right? But the other definition is actually that the head of the penis enters the vagina, okay? So, you know, that they consider haro. And then, you know, after that they go to work,
yeah.
okay? And then we finally have what is called gemar bia, in other words, reaching the conclusion of the act,
right.
okay? So they're all different shiurim. Alright, so what Rashi is saying over here, that each and every one of these sages based it upon his own personal
experience
as to how long it took in order to reach that state of excitement. Okay? So I have to assume then
is
that
somebody in the other room frying eggs? Or
no, I guess
no.
he figured out. That's a good question. That we don't go into those details. But he knows from his own personal experience how long it takes him to cook an egg, or to swallow an egg,
or
whatever it may
egg.
Be, or to eat an egg, right? And so, you know, whatever it may be. And he sees that that's how long it took, you know, to reach this particular stage, okay?
You understand, of course, this is an impossible standard. I mean, so from a legal point of view, you have to come.
From
to
a legal point of view, you're absolutely correct. We'd have to
you
choose
have to come
one of
one,
these.
Choose one.
Right, right. You can't take. You know, it could be A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Right. You can't do it. You're right. Well, actually, from the legal point of view, you have an indication over there. Do you see the legal indication?
Mr. Levy.
No.
No. Take a look at the text of the Gemara.
Yeah.
Okay. Kedei litzlos beitzo. You see that on line 5?
Yeah.
And there's a little aleph over there.
No.
And then Rabbi Akiva Omer kedei legoma. And there's a beis over there.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The answer is that in this particular case, aleph and beis are the accepted halacha. In other words, time to roast an egg
right.
and to eat it.
Oh,
accepting both of these.
That gives you plenty of time.
Or
yeah.
to eat it.
Right. Right, okay.
Right.
This is what the halacha eventually comes to. Okay. All right.
Okay. Now, this is to roast an egg, it's not.
Roast and eat it.
Well, I know, but. Is roasting an egg very different from boiling an egg? Or?
Yeah, roast, you put it on fire. An egg, you put it in a fry pan or.
Roast it in water.
A fennel. Right.
Well, you roast
together
egg,
with water.
Like,
right.
How do you roast chicken? You put it in an oven, right?
Technically, you know that, for example, for Pesach with a Seder,
you roast
when we
egg.
Prepare
right.
an egg, it has to be tzli,
right?
It has to be
roasted.
Right. Some people will hard boil a little bit and then they'll finish the job with roasting so that it doesn't plop.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because as many times I used to put an egg on top of the stove and the shell burst.
You have trouble is cleaning it up.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
So that does that hold true, that aleph and beis hold true in all throughout the Gemara?
Let me explain again. I mean, we have this time and again.
Yeah.
But let me once more explain. When you see that little aleph over there, or a beis, or a gimel, and so on, it means take a look in the side, in the margin. Okay? And you see over there on the top of the page, aleph and beis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then it says my, that of course stands for maimon. In other words, the Rambam. The marginal note on the side of the top over there. Okay? You see it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perek Aleph Mehilcho Soto Halacha Beis. In other words, if we take the Yod Chazaka of the Rambam, the Mishnah Torah, okay? And we would turn to that section where he has the laws of Soto. So we would see in chapter 1, the second Halacha, that this is the opinion that he accepts as being authoritative. Okay?
the roasting and eating of the egg.
Right, right. Okay. Samag, that's a different code that dates roughly about the time of the Rambam. Stands for Sefer Mitzvah Gadol. Okay. So it's Asin. See, the arrangement there was different than the Rambam's. The Samag was based on first a list of the mitzvahs Aseh, and then it was based on mitzvahs Leis Aseh. Okay? And of course, everybody has their own different arrangement as to what it is. Okay? Alright. So in the Samag, it's under Asin, and he tells you, let's see, what is that letter over there? Yeah, Nunvav. Okay.
Nunvav.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I see.
The next one says Tur Shulchan Aruch. That's what that abbreviation stands for. Okay. Evan Ha'ezer. That's the next abbreviation. Simen Kuf Ayin Ches Seif Dalet, which means it is in chapter Kuf Ayin Ches, the fourth paragraph over there. Okay. All right. Now, why does it say Tur Shulchan Aruch? So this I have to explain to you. Different codes were written at different times, but the Rambam was the first great big, like an encyclopedia of Jewish law, okay? And the Rambam included in his 14 volumes, that's why they call it the Yad Chazaka, okay, he included all the laws of the Torah as explained in the Talmud, plus later traditions that had grown, and the subject matter was everything that was mentioned. In other words, he has laws pertaining to the Beis HaMikdosh. He has laws pertaining to, let's say, korbanos, laws concerning tuma and tara, you know, clean, unclean, and so on and so forth, etc. Okay? And, of course, naturally, he also has, you know, the laws that deal with business relations, laws of capital punishment, etc., etc. Okay? And, of course, needless to say, you know, laws pertaining to Shabbos, Yontif, Kashrus, and so forth. I don't have to tell you that. I mean, that goes without saying that, you know, he has. But it's spread in 14 volumes, and each volume has sections, and each section has chapters, and each chapter has Mishnayos. That's the arrangement, okay? Because that's why it was called Mishnah Torah, okay? All right.
So he refers to the original Mishnah.
Well, he used the word Mishnah, not necessarily in reference to the, but it means, you know, a statement which is accepted, okay? The Rambam, by and large, did not quote his sources. He gave you what he considered was the halacha based on his understanding of the text itself. So naturally, around the Rambam, there grew up commentaries. Commentaries of two types. One type was in order to indicate what are the sources for the Rambam's decision, since he himself did not do it, as we said. And in other cases, it is to attack the views of the Rambam and to come in with counter views. This is particularly true of the Ravid, Rabbi Abraham ben David of Poskier. He lived in southern France, and he criticized many of the laws of the Rambam. So naturally, what do? We put them both together. So that way you have the text of the Rambam, you have the text of the Ravid, plus other commentaries as well, okay? So that you can decide whether the Rambam was correct, or whether maybe in this particular case we have to look for a different interpretation, okay? All right.
It leaves it up in the air, though.
Of course it leaves it up in the air to a certain extent. But, I mean, it's true from the discussion of Gemara. You see, look at all these views over here as to what do we mean by Kadei HaRoa, right? Or Kadei Bia. What does it mean? How much time is involved and so on? Okay? So each one had his own idea, and each one was a person to be respected in his own right. They were all great chachamim, but obviously When it comes to the point of view of halacha, we have to decide that this opinion and this opinion are the authoritative opinions. Okay?
No.
All right. Now, I just wanted to finish what I'm saying. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. I just wanted to add that subsequently, of course, there were other books, other codes of law that developed, but the emphasis was not upon trying to cover the entire Torah, including Hilchos Beis HaMikdash and Korbonis and things like that, you know, the way the Rambam did, but to concentrate instead upon those halachas that have a practical bearing for us. Okay? So, one of the great authorities, one of the great compilations is the Tor.
Yeah.
It was compiled by Rabbi Yaakov Balaturim, and what he did was to take the various halachas, of course, based to a large extent upon the Rambam himself. Very often he quotes, practically verbatim, but not in all cases, okay, from the Rambam. But he sticks to those halachas which he felt were practical bazman hazeh, okay? And he arranged it into four major works. That's why they call it the Dalet Torim, or the Abor Torim, okay? One of them is the Orach Chaim, literally the way of life. This deals with laws for Shabbos and Yom Tov, okay? As well as daily davening and tefillin and mezuzahs and, you know, reading the Torah and things like that, okay? Then you have the Choshen, you have the Yoredeya. The Yoredeya deals to a great extent with laws of kashrus, shchita, melicha, you know, in other words, salting, mixtures of basar v'cholov and things like that and so on. And then it goes on several other areas, as for example, Hilchos Talmud Torah. Okay? And then the last part deals primarily with laws of avelus. Okay? You know, laws of mourning. What is a person to do? Well, not just what's a person to do, but for example, the laws that pertain to a person who is deathly sick and the things like that and so on. Okay. Then you have two other major volumes. One is called the Choshen Mishpat, which deals primarily with laws pertaining to civil cases, disputes, quality of witnesses, who can serve in the Beis Din, and so on and so forth. Okay? And then you have the Eben HaEzer. The Eben HaEzer deals with the laws pertaining to men and women, marriage, divorce, and so on. Okay? So that this, in general, is what we find in these sources. Of course, I haven't gone into each and every area, but this is how the tour was arranged by Rabbi Yaakov Balaturim. Along came Rabbi Yosef Karo, who wrote a commentary on the tour. Right. And eventually, this commentary formed the basis of his Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Of course, at a later time, along came a rabbi by the name of Gottfried, who wrote what we call the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Then, of course, there's another one by Rav Danzig, who wrote the Chayei Odom. Okay? In modern times, we have, for example, the Mishnah Berura of the Chofetz Chaim. Yeah. But that deals primarily only with the Orach Chaim. It doesn't deal with any other areas. But then along came Rav Epstein, and he wrote what they call the Orach HaShulchan, in which he again deals with many different areas. Okay.
Are all these commentaries are their opinions similar, or are they controversial?
No, there may be from time to time you will find controversy.
So how does the other hand, decide most, which is
most? In most cases, you will find that there's great agreement among them, but still there's also variation among them. Person has to judge on the basis of knowledge of the sources, judging what circumstances are, and of course a tremendous literature of what we call Shilas and Tshuvas that has been going on for at least 1500 years. you know, people ask shilas.
And it's recorded.
And they record, you know, the answers given to them. And as I say, we have a literature of 1,500 years of shilas and shubas, including to the, you know, today, people still writing shilas and shubas. So it's upon these things that you have to base a judgment. The Chofetz Chaim, right, yeah. He is the author of Mishnah Berurah, which, as I said, is really the Orach Chaim of the Shulchan Aruch, but with another commentary that he adds to it.
Let me ask you this. Are there controversial opinions on, let's say, the laws of Kashrut?
Sometimes. Sometimes. In certain areas, what the Ashkenazim accept, the Sephardim do not accept, and vice versa. Why? Because the Sephardim go on the basis of the Shulchan Aruch. They go on the basis of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, the Karma. Whereas we go not only on that basis, but we also have the interpretations, for example, of the Ramah, who adapted the Shulchan Aruch for the use of the Ashkenazi communities to incorporate the ideas. Okay, we'll stop at this particular point. Okay, and continue for next week. Yeah, we're still running around the decal.
Right.
All right. For the benefit, first of all, of
December
Marty.
1995, 1996.
Okay. Yeah. Correct. Okay.
We're on Perek Rishon and Soto and
Daf Dalet. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I just want to summarize where we are for the moment, for the benefit of Marty, for whom this is an initial experience tonight. But as far as learning over here is concerned, okay. The Gemara Soda, I mean, the theme of Sota happens to be the woman who is suspected by her husband of being unfaithful, okay? And as we learned from the Mishnah and the following discussion that we've had up to this particular point, that there are actually three different stages in the process. Torah speaks, of course, of the fact that if his suspicions are so great, this is, then he can take her to the Beis HaMikdash, where the Kohen will read her the riot act, so to speak. Actually, he reads a selection from the Torah. And then it's wiped out and with water, and that water becomes bitter. It also becomes called Mayim HaMa'orah, which means literally the waters of cursing. And she drinks it. If she is innocent, then in that particular case, she'll be blessed with children. Presumably, she'll have Shalom Bayis from that particular point on. If she is guilty, then her belly will swell, and she'll become a curse that those people will look at her and turn away from her and say that she's a curse to the people of Israel. Okay. But what are the stages? Because this has to follow a procedure. So we learned that the first stage is what is called kinui. So my throat ain't so good tonight, as they say in French. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kinui means literally an act of jealousy. But what it consists of, technically, is witnesses come to tell him that they notice that his wife has been spending too much time talking to so-and-so, okay? Certain man. So the husband then, if he wants to follow up on this, he has to warn his wife in the presence of these witnesses, who brought the report, and has to tell her that alta sosri in plenty. In other words, do not conceal yourself with so-and-so. Okay? In other words, don't you ever go and into privacy, into seclusion with this particular person. Okay? Now, what happens if witnesses saw her that she disregarded her husband's warnings, right?
and she was secluded with the man against whom he had warned her. So in that particular case, we have to figure out how much time has she spent with this man so that she would be suspected of going to stage three, which of course is called tumah. In other words, she goes and, you know, she has illicit relations with the man. Because obviously, if it's only, you know, to go in for a moment and come right out again, then there are no grounds. It could simply be, you know, that she went there to talk business or, you know, whatever it may be, understand? So there has to be grounds, in other words, that she has been acting in a very suspicious manner. She has been warned properly on the basis of testimony, okay? And then, if she has, you know, so then, if the husband suspects that she has been guilty of committing tumah, this is when he puts it to the test by taking her and so on. All right. So the Gemara now on Daf Dalet wants to know how much time does she have to be secluded with the man for the husband to have grounds for suspicion? That is, you know, that she has come to tumah. You understand? So this is what the Gemara is. All right, I'll review it again from the top of the page because we were discussing it last week, but it doesn't do us any harm. And besides which, we'll discover that there is a different version just a little bit later on, and we see, you know, what's going on over there. Okay? All right. So this is what the Gemara asked. It says, "V'kama shir stira," right? How much of a measure, literally? In other words, how long does she have to be in seclusion with this man? Right? And the answer is kedei tumo, in order that we are convinced, you know, that she has committed literally abomination, uncleanliness, but of course what we mean, and you know, that she's had you know, intercourse with this person, right? She's had adulterous relationships. So they give the following definition: kedei bio, time enough in order to have intercourse; kedei ha'aroa, time enough for, as last week somebody said, foreplay. But as I said, you know, there are two different definitions as to what ha'aroa is. One is simply shikas ha'aver. I mean, this is an accepted one, that it's you know, putting genitals close to each other. That's why we said foreplay. But others say that it actually is hachnosis ha'torah, toras ha'rosh. There's the crown. In other words, the head of the penis, when it enters the, you know, the vagina, this is what we mean by ha'roa. And the third definition given by Rabbi Yishmael, who's the author of this statement on line 2, is kedei ha'kofas dekel, time enough to go around a date palm, a palm tree. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, this is his definition of how much time is necessary. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he says it's kedei mezigas hakoyis. It's the amount of time necessary in order to take a revius, a cup that holds wine, a revius of wine, and mix it with water, dilute it in order to be make it drinkable. In those days, the wine was so strong that it had to be diluted with water before you could drink it. Okay, so the amount of time that would take, this would be the amount of time that you know, if she was secluded for that length of time, then we already suspect that the worst, okay? Rabbi Yeshua Emer, he says, kedei l'shtoisei, it's the amount of time that it takes in order to drink the wine, okay? Ben Azai Omer, he says that it is kedei l'shtoisei, it's the amount of time that is necessary in order to roast an egg. Rabbi Akiva Omer, kedei l'goma. Rabbi Akiva says, the amount of time necessary in order to swallow this egg. Okay? Yes?
I think maybe you just want to point out to Marty that in the last two, that the second one is joined to the first.
Yes. This we'll discover. I mean, exactly. In other words, it isn't just, you know, the amount of time to... It seems like two separate ones. But eventually they're going to come to the conclusion that it will be time enough to roast an egg and then swallow it. Okay? Right. Rabbi Yehud ben Becerra Omer, he says, it's kedei l'gmoa shalosh beitzim zahazu. It's the amount of time that it takes in order to swallow three eggs, one after another. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yirmiyahu Omer, he has a different definition of the time. He says, Kedei likshur gardi nima. He says, it's the amount of time necessary for a gardi. Gardi is a weaver to tie together nima, threads. Okay, you know, in other words, he's weaving things, so, you know, he takes the threads and he weaves it. So the amount of time necessary in order to weave it, this is the amount of time. Chonan ben Pinchas Omer, he says, it is time, Kedei shetoshet yodo nesech piho litol kesem. He says, it's the amount of time necessary in order for a woman to put her hand into her mouth in order to remove a splinter. Kesem is a splinter. Presumably like a toothpick, in other words, she used a toothpick, and it got... Right. And the question is, how long does it take, you know, in order to get the toothpick out, okay? Palimo Omer, Kadesha Toshit Yodalasal, little kikar. Okay? He says it's the amount of time necessary for the woman to put her hand into a basket in order to take out a loaf of bread. So, Afal Pi, now this is as far as we got last time, but it's Afal Pi Shein Ra'ayala Dova Zechladova. Whenever it says Afal Pi Shein Ra'ayala Dova, it means that we don't have actually a pasuk that says so. But there is like a hint in a pasuk which we could interpret homiletically, you see, to tell us what is the so what is the pasuk. So he comes and he quotes a pasuk that we find in Mishlei, in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 6, over there where it says ki ba'ad isho zono, which means that because of an adulterous woman, at kikar lechem, he is reduced literally to a loaf of bread. More appropriate to our Aryan over here. Right. Right. Yeah.
If we would take a look at chapter 6 in the book of Proverbs, we would find that actually it's a miscellany of various statements, okay? But towards the end, around verse 26, 27, 28, so there he says, you know, beware of an adulterous woman, right? Don't fall into a trap, and so on. And so they quote over here. This is one thing that they quote, namely, because of an isho zono, because, you know, in other words, that he has high, good evening, brother, because of his relations with an adulterous woman, so he will be reduced at kikar lechem. In other words, he will become impoverished, so that he'll be lucky to have just a loaf of bread in order to sustain him.
So, that's why he says, you know, that it's not proof that I say that it's the amount of time necessary in order for a woman to put her hand into a basket and remove a loaf of bread, but, you see, there is a connection, he says, between a loaf of bread and an adulterous woman, okay? Now, Gemara wants to ask the following question. I'll wait for a second for Rona to find it, okay? So the Gemara wants to know if a chol hane lomali, a good logical question. What it says is, and all these, in other words, all these different definitions of the amount of time, what do I need all these definitions? Why won't one definition be sufficient? Right? Makes sense. Right. So the Gemara says tzrichi, which means all of these different definitions are necessary. Why are they all necessary? So he'll explain in a second that, you know, if we said this and not this, then in that particular case we might think something else. Alright? And that's why this statement has been made. I mean, this is the general idea when you say, you know, tzrichi, we need it. We need what? The e tano ketei tuma. Let's say that it only said, you know, where it says on top over there, right? The Chamesh Yisteri says ketei tuma, right? Which we translated, I mean, that, you know, time enough, you know, in order to
commit misconduct.
Okay, nice word. Okay. So I said, if it had only said that, then in that case, Chava Amina, I might have thought as follows, Kedei Tumor, so the Atzeisot, that it means
not only that, you know, the amount of time necessary for her to have misconduct, but also to be happy to submit to the person. It's the word lahartzos, which, you know, it's like a hifil, so to speak, the word would say, you understand? In other words, for him to get her to be willing to submit to him. Okay? If it simply had the word tumo, kedei tumo, then we might think that it isn't, you know, simply, as we said before, let's say, the amount of time, let's say, to become aroused, okay?
Right.
But rather, we would think that it would be the time for, you know, we would need, have to take a sufficient amount of time, long enough for her to, you know, not only, let's say, to, you know, what is that word that they use again?
Misconduct.
Okay. Not only for her to be guilty of misconduct, but also to actually be happy to do so.
And
in other words,
submit
to it. He talked her into it and she enjoys it, you understand? Okay? So, which, of course, is going to take a little bit longer, obviously. All right. So, kamash malon, that's the reason why. Then along comes the next definition, which says that what do we mean, kedei tum? It means kedei biyon. Right? The amount of time necessary to have intercourse. Okay?
So, after saying that, I would suggest that perhaps the first one is more along the line of thought that it would be enough time for the parties to agree to the misconduct.
Well,
you know,
okay.
So, okay, we're, you know,
yeah, that's a good question.
From Ritzon,
That's fine.
In a common parlance that he asks, she expresses her consent,
right.
Which would not take a long time.
Right. So Gemara's going to ask a similar question. Okay? Yeah, you anticipated, you see? You're very good. You anticipated the question that Gemara's going to ask.
Absolutely.
Well,
as I said before,
not.
She has acted in such a way, she's become too friendly with some men, so, you know, that that witnesses come along and say that she's acting in a very suspicious manner, right? And so he gave a warning not to be. And then she disregarded the warning subsequently. You understand?
Yeah.
And, you know, she did seclude herself with the man. But the question is, for how long was she secluded with him? So the answer is kedei tumo. In other words, long enough, you know, for misconduct to have taken place, okay? But how much is that? So we see everybody has his own definition as to how long it takes for misconduct to have taken place, okay? Each one comes with a different idea. As, for example, the amount of time it takes to go around the palm tree.
What does that mean in the current time? A few seconds?
Okay. Maybe a few seconds, or maybe a little bit longer than that. There's an interesting, at the bottom of the page, you see
it
the Tosfos sounds. Take a look at the Tosfos Sans, down at the bottom, just the last couple of lines over there. Okay. Right. Okay. Okay. You see, first of all, he quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi, which has a somewhat different definition. Okay.
Okay. The last few lines.
Yeah. Okay.
Boil it bottom.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, it says Hossam, the third line at the bottom. In other words, the first long line. You see it?
Yeah.
Okay. It says Hossam Omar Ben Azai. It says there. In other words, in the Yerushalmi. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben Azai said, "Kedei litzlois beitza." Right. Time enough in order to roast an egg. Okay. B'hocho Amar. And here, he says, kedei lishtois, the amount of time in order to drink. Okay? So already there is, so to speak, a contradiction. What did he say? Did he say this way, or did he say the other one? Right? The idi, so
the Gemara says over there, the Gemara of Yerushalmi says, both of them actually chashiru, right? In other words, they are the same amount of time. You understand? And then he says, "Belekalat shuyim," and we should not ask Akasha about this. In other words, there is really no real difficulty with the fact, you know, that there are two definitions given in his name, even though they both mean the same thing. Right? So that you should ask him, Cain, if that's the case, Haini Rabbi Yeshua. Isn't this then the same as Rabbi Yeshua? The Omar Le'el, who said above, Kedei L'shtoisei, right? That's the amount of time in order to drink the cup of wine, right? The Omar Basrei, and afterwards he said, Kedei L'shtois Beitza, right? Mishum the Rabbi Yeshua Omar, because in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, he said that there is required Mezigo Imashtia. You have to first mix the wine, and then you have to drink it. So in other words, what are we getting to? We say it isn't just the amount of time to drink the wine, right? But it is the amount of time necessary to mix the wine and to drink it. Just as we said, that if you're going to use the egg as your measure, then it isn't enough simply to roast the egg.
Also to eat it.
But it also has to be eaten, right? Okay? That means it's a longer period of time. Okay. Now, boy, Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi then asked, "Bimerachek or bimekarek?" This we'll see a little bit later on this page. The question over here is in reference to the weaver, as to whether the threads are close to each other, or whether they are removed from each other. Are they far from each other? Right, because obviously that's going to affect also the amount of time it takes, because you have to get first the threads together before you can tie them together. You understand? So, okay. So Toma asked the question, right? So why didn't he ask the same question about the amount of time it takes to go around the date tree? Right? Balima o bekampida, bekamipa. Okay. In other words, would it be a big tree, or would it be a small tree that we're talking about? Right. The bishlamo, because of the same spirit, he says gabe kois stam. If we simply say a cup of wine, so what do we mean by a cup of wine? So we say that kos hare miravis, right? In other words, a kos, the cup of wine that we're talking about, has to contain at least the reviz of wine. In other words, a quarter of the hin, which is, you know, a biblical measure, okay? V'chein beitza. Likewise, the egg. What kind of an egg are we talking about? So, beitza stama. In other words,
small egg, right?
Egg, right? And we didn't give a definition as to the size of the egg. So he says, this beitza has to be the tarnegolis. First of all, we're talking about not a bird's egg, but we're talking about a chicken egg, right? Or benonis. And we're talking about an egg which is of average size.
Not an ostrich egg.
Right. And I assume that it means it doesn't have to be a jumbo-sized egg, but it doesn't have to be either the small egg. It should be what is euphemistically called a large egg, okay? Elo bedekel. But he says, how about the dekel? In other words, the palm tree. Amayla boy beiz a dekel myra. Why doesn't he ask, you know, what kind of a dekel are we talking about? So Vishema, he says, maybe the answer is Ratzon Loima. That's what that over here, the abbreviation is. Ratzon Loima. In other words, he wants to tell us, he wants to say, Kidei hakofas dekel beinoni. The answer is, we're talking about going around the average palm tree. Not the biggest and not the smallest, but the amount of time it would take to go around an average palm tree. Okay? I don't know how many palm trees you've seen. They go to Eretz Yisrael, you see some palm trees over there. I think they have them down in Florida. And
I would think that they mean going around a tree, meaning going around on the periphery.
Going around the periphery, of course.
All right. Not just the trunk.
Well, that's a good question, but obviously they don't really spell it out. However, Okay, let's get on with our text over here. So far we have then all these various interpretations, right? Okay, the question is, Lomali, why do I need all these different definitions? If he had only said, then right? It would be time enough for her to become defiled by her actions and also to be willing to submit to him. So, Kamash Malon, this is why we have a definition, which means the amount of time for intercourse. Now, why doesn't it say simply on the top over there, Kedei Bia? Why does it have to give other definitions? That's the question, right? So he says, if it said, you know, the amount of time necessary for intercourse, and he says, Hava Amina, we would have said, Kedei Gemar Bia. It would be the amount of time necessary in order to complete the act. So Kamash Malon, right, for that reason it says, Kedei Ha'ara, which implies, no, you don't. We're not talking about going through the entire procedure,
just started.
Right? But right, to get it's time enough just to get started already. Okay. Now, the e ashmin in kedei ha'arah, and if we had the interpretation simply, you know, for ha'arah, then hava amino kedei ha'arah v'atzeisa. Then we might mean in order, you know, to fool around. And also to make her willing in order to submit. Okay, so Kamash Malon, that's why we have Kedei Tuma. Okay, the Kamo Kedei, it should really be not Ha'arah but Tuma, obviously, because it doesn't make any sense otherwise. In other words, and how much then is Kedei Tuma? So he says, Kedei HaKofas Dekel. Okay, it's the amount of time necessary in order to go around a date pot. Okay. So far we've come to more or less a definition as to the amount of time necessary. But now we see that they bring in the Tosefta, which has different shiurim, okay? And all of them in the name of some of the authorities that were quoted previously, but with different readings, okay? So here we go. Ramin. So now they ask the Kasha, because the Tosefta says as follows. It says, V'nistara, right? The woman, in other words, has secluded herself, right? The chama shir satira, lo shamanu, right? How long the amount of time it should be, you know, for her to be in seclusion, he says, we don't know exactly. Lo shamanu. We have no, literally, you know, nothing specific has been handed down to us in order to show us in the text, you know, how long it is, right? So, Kishahu Omer, the he nitmoa. When the Torah says, right, and she has become defiled, right? So, Heve Omer, I would say, how long is that? Kedei Tumo, Kedei Bio, Kedei Haro, right? So far, it's like the same thing that we had before, quoted in the name of Rabbi Eliezer up on top. In the name of Rabbi Yishmael up on top, excuse me. Take a look on line 3 over there, at line 2 and 3. You see that these, so far, right, Kedei Tumo, Kedei Bio, Kedei Haro, right? So there it's quoted in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, right? Here it's quoted in the name of who?
Rabbi
Eliezer, it's quoted over here, okay? But there is one significant difference, and that is, he also says, Kedei Chazoras Dekel, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Now, up on top it said what? Hakofas Dekel, right? Which means going around the date palm. But here he says, Kedei Chazoras Dekel. Now, the question is, which means literally, for the return of the palm tree. So now we have to ask ourselves, so what is this return of the palm tree? So the answer is, if a wind would blow the palm tree so that it shakes, let's say, like this, how long would it take that palm tree to go back? You understand? Or maybe it shakes this way, it shakes that way. How long does it take for it to come back to
It's normal position, right? Exactly. It depends on the amount of wind that's involved, and you know how much force you see is exerted. In other words, against the palm tree. So, as we see, this statement is obviously not in harmony with the statement up above. Okay. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, along comes Rabbi Yehoshua. Take a look. Up on line 3, what did it say? It said Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kedei Mizikas HaKois, right? Rabbi Eliezer is quoted over there is only talking about what? How long it takes to mix the wine in the cup, right? And what did Rabbi Yehoshua say? He said Kedei L'Shtoise, right? Amount of time necessary in order to drink it. All right. Now here in this quotation, it's Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, right? He says what? Kedei Mizikas HaKois. And Ben Asai comes along and he says, right? Ben Asai Omer Kedei L'Shtoise. So in other words, we're a little bit confused between one tradition and the next tradition as to who is the author of the statements. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Obviously, there is a stira, as we would say, using it in the usual sense, namely, you know, that there is a conflict, right, as to who said what, okay? And what did they, yes, and then what did they actually say? Okay. All right, so far, so good. Rabbi Akiva Omer, along comes Rabbi Akiva, what does he say? He says, Kedei L'Shtoise Beitza. He says the amount of time necessary in order to roast the egg, right? Whereas up above, what does it say? We said that was Ben Asai who said that, okay? And what did Rabbi Akiva say up above? He said, Kedei L'Gomer, the amount of time necessary in order to swallow the egg, literally. Digest the egg, okay? To swallow the egg. Okay? So, we see then that, Ben Asai said to Rabbi Akiva, Emer Kedei, this place Besa, the amount of time necessary in order to roast an egg. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Omer, in this version it says that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is the one who says Kedei L'Gomer, right? Alright, so far we see not only is there a little bit of a confusion as to who said what, but now the next question is this. It says Kasal Kedate, do you want to assume that Hainu Hakofas Dekel, Hainu Chasos Dekel, that where the one tradition, you know, it says Hakofas Dekel, in other words, walking around the palm tree, and the other one, which says Chasos Dekel, in other words, for the palm tree, you know, to shake and come back again, Hainu would mean that, in other words, they are both talking exactly about the same amount of time. One is identical with the other. Is this what we're trying to say?
How would you? I'm sorry, just for the Hebrew, is it?
Right.
Did you say hainu or
no? No, no, it's hainu.
It's like hine.
Yeah, right, hainu? Right. It hainu. Is. Yeah, it's like hine, exactly. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah. Even the modern Hebrew, you know, in literary Hebrew, they still use this word.
I know. I've seen it.
Right. In other words, right?
Okay.
But hainu, and hainu over here means, in other words, that they're identical, right? That they mean the same thing.
Yeah.
So, hosom, omer Rabbi Yishmael, right? There, in other words, if we go up on top, it says, Rabbi Yishmael said, kilei hakofas tekel, right? Down to time in order to go around the palm tree, right? Ufolig, Rabbi Eliezer alei, right? And it was Rabbi Eliezer who disagreed with his interpretation. But Hocha, in this citation, Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Kedei Chazoras Dekel, right? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's Rabbi Eliezer that was quoted as saying for the palm tree, you know, to go back again to where it was before it stopped to shake. So, Abai said, Hakofa, he says, is Beregel. When it uses the word Hakofa, then it means that you march around, you walk around. I mean, we still use the word
Hakofas, yeah.
About Hakofas, you know. So Simchas Torah, the Hoshanah Rabbah, right? We make Hakofas. Of course, the word Hakofa also has another meaning. Does anybody else remember another meaning of the word Hakofa?
Well, keep is to surround,
but that's
the same thing as this.
Yeah, right.
To go around in a circle.
Well,
indirectly to go.
No. Well, hakapla is also used in a different sense. It's used, for example, that you know, you go and you borrow something and they put it down, you get credit. You know, the like a credit card.
Huh.
Hakapla.
You borrow something.
Yeah. In other words, you charge it. You charge it. That's hakapla. It's another meaning of the word. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question. Okay. Because they're getting to this with Ruach. The Hazarat Hadekel. I see it, because it makes more sense to me, not to say that it's after the wind stops blowing. How long will it take the tree or the trunk to return to it to its former
position,
upright?
Yeah.
But rather that you measure this from the time that the wind begins to blow, because if the wind blows for quite a while and continues to blow and the palm tree is then pushed
forward, then the
length of measurement is the length of the time that the wind is blowing, which really makes it considerably
longer. That would
longer.
Make it longer, but actually I think what they have in mind is not from the beginning of the wind, but rather from the time that the wind causes the tree to begin swaying.
All right, I'll understand that, but when the wind causes the tree to bend,
but
that's considerably longer, because you're now involved in how long the wind will blow and keep the wind
each one has his own interpretation as to how long it takes, right? Okay. So Amar by Hakofa Beregel, he says that Hakofa is on foot, right? Whereas Chazara is Beruach, right? That depends upon the wind blowing. Okay? Now, boy Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi asks the following question. He says, Chazara Beruach Kehechi. What do we mean by Chazara in a wind? In other words, that it goes in the wind. How is it? What are we talking about? It says, the Azil, the Hadar Asi, are we saying that it goes, and then it goes in the opposite direction? Mm-hmm. Oh, Dilmo, maybe it says, Ki Heichi the Azil, it's the amount of time necessary in order to go this way, the Asi, right, and come back, the Hadar, and finally, again, Kai Beduchte, comes back, and it stands in its, literally in its place. In other words, it's once more a palm tree standing upright. Okay? So in answer to that, what does the Gemara say? It says Tekel. In other words, we don't know. Tekel means that we don't have a definite answer. Okay? There are mysteries. I mean, there are times that the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Tekel, we just don't have an answer. That's all. We don't know. I never learned it. Sometimes in a teiku, we subsequently come up with an answer from something else, so that we see that the teiku is only for a temporary, that they didn't know what the answer was, but subsequently we learn an answer. But in other cases, teiku is teiku, that's it. We don't know. Okay, next. Hossam, previously, right, Omar Rabbi Elazar, what did he say? He said, Kedei Mizikas HaKais, right? And Hocha, here in this case, it says, Kedei Chazoras Dekel, right? So, what about it? Why does he have two interpretations? All right, so he has two interpretations, but the answer to the Gemara is Idi V'Idi Chachirahu. In reality, whether he said one thing or the other, but it all boils down to being exactly the same
time.
Measure of time, right? Hossam, there it said, Omer Rav Yehoshua, K'day L'shtoyseh, right? The amount of time in order to drink.
And Hocho Amar, Kedei Bezikas HaKois, right? Here he says, you know, time enough in order to mix the wine. So, Amor, am I going to say? So let me say, he says, Kedei Limzoig Udishtois. In other words, let's say it's the amount of time necessary in order to dilute the wine and then drink it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Velema Ida V'yidachad Shirahu, right? So, now the Gemara asked the following question where it says, look, if you say that it really is one shiur, that's the same thing, right? Then in Cain, if that's the case, Hainu Rabbi Eliezer. So why do we have to have different authorities if one is saying the same that the other one is saying? Hosam Omar Ben Azai. There, Ben Azai said, Kedei Litzleis Beitza, right? The amount of time necessary in order to roast an egg, and Hochamah Kedei Lishtoisei. And here he says, the amount of time in order to drink it. So, they say, Idavi Idachat Shirahu. Again, same answer. They're both talking about the same measure of time. Hotsam of Rabbi Akiva. There, Rabbi Akiva said, Kedei Lagoma, right? The amount of time necessary in order to swallow that egg. Hochamah, here it says, Kedei Litzleis Beitza. Time necessary in order to roast the egg. So, Amor, let me say, therefore, Kedei Litzleis Beitza Lagoma. All right, in other words, it's the amount of time necessary in order to roast an egg and to consume it, okay? Belema ide v'yide chachiruhu. So, you say that it's the same measure. So, imkein hain ben Asai. So, what's the difference between him and ben Asai? Hosam avariyabayu ben Mesegro. There, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira said, Kedei legmoya shalish beitzim zvachazu. Right? Time necessary in order to swallow three eggs one after another. And Hocha Omar Kedei legomon. Here he said, only time enough in order to swallow it. But what do you mean, to swallow it? To swallow it would imply how many eggs?
One.
One, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, here in this answer they say, no. He says, Lidvoro de Rabbi Akiva ka Omar. What he was doing was simply to quote the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, right? The Ka'omar who said, Misha'arin bitzliyo uvegemiya. The Rabbi Akiva says that in reality we have to figure the amount of time, we have to measure it both as for the amount of time for roasting it and for consuming it. Amor, let me say, shir gemiya l'chudo. That the amount of time necessary in order to consume the egg should stand by itself; it would be separate, right? So he says, and kedei likmo sholish beitzim zuachazu, right? And then to say that the amount of time in order to swallow three eggs one after another. So he says, the hainutz liyugmiya. In other words, where in one case he said the amount of time necessary in order to roast the egg and then swallow it is identical with the time that it would take simply to swallow three eggs, you know, without going through the preliminary of roasting it first. Now, I don't know whether it means to swallow three raw eggs or simply that he is discounting the amount of time, you know, that he's not counting that time, but he comes up with the same amount of time that it would take to perform those two actions as compared to the latter action. Okay.
Yeah, that should be pretty quantifiable. I mean, that's almost something I could almost see like Moshe Feinstein if he was doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could quantify how long it would take you to roast an egg, I'm no expert, unless there's like a well-done roasted egg versus a...
Right.
But assuming that, then how long it will take to cool.
Right.
And then some guess, this is the hard part, how long would it take somebody to eat an egg? And then you could come up with a uniform tekken, you know, you could come up with a uniform standard.
Yeah, right.
You hope. Sort of like IDH Solidipo, they came up with 130. I mean, you could come up with 3.5 minutes.
Something like that. Yeah, correct. Right.
No one did this.
I don't think. Okay. However, I want to call your attention to what we learned in the Rashi Tosa from the top of the page. Maybe I'll take a, we'll stop for Rashi at this point, okay? We have some very involved Rashi at this page, incidentally. Okay, but let's review again from the top, okay?
He said over there, Ketei Tumor, right? I mean, that's what the text says. So he explains the Mahu Ketei Tumor. So Rashi explains what do we mean by Ketei Tumor, the amount of time necessary for Tumor, right? It's Ketei Bia, right? Amount of time for necessary for intercourse. So Mahu Ketei Bia. And what do we mean by the amount of time for Bia? It says Ketei Ha'aroa. It's the amount of time necessary for what we call foreplay, right? The Hainan Nishika Sefer Ba'isimokam. Okay? But as I explained to you, there are two different opinions as to what exactly they mean by the word harav. Okay. The kamo shiura, and how long does that take? It says, kedei ha-kofas degel. That's the amount of time in order to walk around a palm tree. Sheyuchal ha-odom leilech, right, that the person can walk, zivivos ha-degel, around the degel. With a kamo meforesh, and afterwards, they're going to explain Lomalila mystical, and why do I have to have all these different opinions? Remember, that's what we learned just before, right? Why do we need them? So, okay, we need them because each one has a different simile, shall we say, or a different comparison that he's making it to. Now, Kedei Mizigat's Kois, so Rashi explained the Mosko Bimayim, right? That you have to dilute the wine by mixing it with water, with Stam Kos. And when we talk about coasts in general, so it means ravines, right? With a common amidon, later we're going to say, kol echod v'yechod, this is the punchline over here, okay? That each and every one, min hachachomim halolu, right? Be'atzmo shi'er, estimated by himself, kama shehu shoyhe b'haroso, how long it takes him and his foreplay in order to, you know, to achieve that stage of the game, okay? No matter which. In other words, they're talking about their own personal experience. So this one said, it takes me as long as it takes to walk around a palm tree, right? The other one said, no, it takes me as long as it's time, you know, let's say, to roast an egg.
Right, and eat it.
Right. The other one says, and eat it, okay? And so on. All right. So, in other words, all of them are talking from their own personal experience. This is what the Gemara is going to ask a little bit later.
I have another question.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
During, now, it seems to me from the Gemara, also from Rashi, the original, well, one of the questions that came up, which was, let me just get this, but let's see, it's the Ritzo To or the Ritzo No. In other words, the idea is that it's not so much the act itself, but under one idea, the act itself and the consent of the woman in question, or another possibility was just how long it would take for the consent to be obtained. But this evidently is eliminated. This no longer becomes a factor.
Well, they haven't really given up on it altogether.
Okay, but it's
They haven't really given up. By the way, if we take a look at the first Tosfos over there, it says Kama Shias Theory. You see that over there on top?
Okay,
it
right.
Says Yerushalmi. Says in the Yerushalmi, call Ilain Shiurim, all these various Shiurim, he says, Achah HaTorah Sinar, which means after clothing can be removed, then how long would it take in order to achieve this? Okay? All right. So naturally, that already adds a little bit more time, presumably, to the process. Okay?
Sinar
means literally,
an
apron. Okay.
Apron.
But obviously,
scarf,
it's a nice way for saying it. Okay?
Because so you're in Iraq,
it depends on how much clothes they're wearing.
No,
yeah, that's true. Okay.
See, whether it's cold, whether it's warm.
We have to take this figuratively because hatarat, we were just discussing, can mean untie.
Yeah.
Sinar,
right, right.
Sinar
is an apron. All right. Yeah, in other words, I mean, presumably, you know, let's say she's wearing an apron, how long would it take to remove the apron? But as I say, obviously, I mean, the idea would be, in other words, how long would it take, you know, for clothing to be removed, and then, you know, the foreplay to begin, and so on. So how much time would all this consume, okay?
A couple of hours.
Or a couple of minutes.
Right. Okay. All right. Anyway, to continue with the Rashi, all right. Remember, one interpretation was, how long does it take to remove a splint, in other words, like a toothpick, right? It says little kesem, the bench from between her teeth, okay? Now, the afal pishen ra'aya, then remember, he says that even though the business, remember, at kikar lechem, right, by Yishu Zedah, right? Al kik alechem. In other words, because of an adulterous woman, he says he's reduced to a kik alechem. He says, and then he said, even though I don't have, an explicit pasuk that says that this is the amount of time, right? So, but nevertheless, right? The afal pi shein ra'aya gemura. In other words, it's not a complete proof, for the amount of what I said. So, because after all, the text over there in Proverbs is not talking about putting your hand into a basket with bread. You understand? But nevertheless, he says, Yesh zechev remes niktsas. But there is, a small hint at something along these lines. Why? The huksha, the fact that, the Isha Zaina, is placed in comparison to the Kikalechem. Mm-hmm. All right. So then the Gemara wants to know, V'chol Hani Lomani, why do I need all these different definitions, right? L'misne V'resha, let the Torah, let the text say right at the beginning, L'misne Shiyus Stira, how much is the amount of time necessary for Stira? Kidei tumo, right? In order to achieve, in order to come into a state of, what is that fancy word?
Misconduct.
Misconduct, right. I have to remember misconduct, like Miss Saigon misconduct. Okay. Kidei hakofa segel. Why doesn't it come out and say, how long does it take? It's the amount of time in order to walk around. Why does it go in, kidei bio, kidei haro, etc., etc., etc. Okay?
Why?
So he says the itano kedei tumo, because if it only said kedei tumo, then Haba Amida would have said bechol shiur itzvich lavo l'teikach. In every measure that was offered to us, every amount of time that each one suggested, it's in order to bring us to finally the hainu tumo v'artzoisa. In other words, not only the fact that it's tumo, that the misconduct took place, but also that she willingly consented to do it, Sheyefate osa. In other words, that he seduced her, in other words, he talked her into it, right? By a daber alibo, and he spoke literally to her heart, in other words, he did a good salesman's job on her. Until she agreed, she consented, to commit adultery with him. Okay. Kamash Malon, therefore, we find out that it's the my tumo bia l'chudo, right? What is tumo? He says, be itself. This is what it is. The intercourse, this is tumo. The ikol meimar, because we can say, koidem hastiro, right? Before she secluded herself, even before she went to the seclusion, Nisratzislo, maybe she had already consented even beforehand, even before she was, she went to seclusion with him. Okay? Kamash Malon Kiteha Ra, right? So what about the definition of Ha-Ra? It says, the Kaya Malon, that we learned, the Ferek Ha-Bal Yivimta, there's a Perek in Yivamis, which says, Ha-Ra, right, is kigamar bi'alachol ha'arayas. In other words, the Gemara there says that the very fact that you already have ha'ara is tantamount as if it were carrying the act to completion. Okay? In other words, in order to be guilty of, you have committed erva, with somebody who is prohibited to you. You understand? So, by virtue of that already, by virtue of that, even if you have not actually gone, completed the action, but already you have violated the law, which prohibits you from doing this. This is what it means over there. Okay? Yeah. The itano kedei ha'ara, right? And if he had taught only, if the amount of time it takes for ha'ara, below tono bereisha kedei tumah, and he had not taught, first about tumah, then Hava Mina might have said that Kidei Ha'ara V'Atzoisa, right? In other words, the amount of time necessary to commit Ha'ara and also to gain her willingness.
the afilo tonic and bio, and even if he had taught for the amount of time to have intercourse kadei ha'ara, lo hava mimat atzeisa, it still would not have excluded the idea that she has to be willing to consent to the idea. The ana amino, because I might have said that ha'aroa, the miyute gemar miyah, that ha'aroa excludes, you know, as we said before, a moment ago, you know, carrying it through to completion. Umihu, but nevertheless, artsosa be'inon. We still have to have her consent to the action. This is the point. She has to be willing, you know, to commit it. Obviously, if the man raped her, we're not talking about that. We're talking about she herself, right, and she was willing to commit adultery, you see. The hoche have mashba, because then we would have understood that kama she yostiro kidei bia. The ana amina, and I say, kol tzorche bia, which I might have interpreted meaning to everything that goes along with bia, the hainu atzosa ugamar bia. In other words, her consent and having intercourse and finally achieving, you know, the final climax, okay? The hoda meforish law, and afterwards, you know, they're going to explain mahi bia ha'ra, right? We say bia is ha'ra, so akati atzosa lo in it. Nevertheless, it did not exclude the fact that atzosa also is necessary. So hilkoch tana bereisha katei tumo, so therefore he taught at the beginning katei tumo, v'mashma tumo v'atzosa. In other words, it means then that not only does she have to commit misconduct, but it has to be a willingness on her part in order to do it, okay? And that, of course, is going to take time because he has to talk her into it, right?
Well, except, yeah. See, there are two other possibilities.
Yeah.
One which Rashi himself raises,
right,
was that there is a precedent consent. In other words, that the parties had agreed to this before they went into
conclusion.
Yeah,
that's correct. I mean,
so
he's already thrown that
involved
out too for us, right?
Which
is
very eminently logical. The other thing is that you're assuming this kind of discussion, whereas the time for the time that would take for consent is merely to say yes and to untie your clothing, so this may not require more than a second or two.
No, obviously, I mean, we can't figure
but
it out. We can't use a stopwatch on these things. Yeah.
This is speculative. That's one interpretation.
Right.
That's one, it's not a given. That's one interpretation.
Yeah.
He's talking about the possibility that she consented before they came to me.
Yeah, well, Rashi threw that out, right?
Yeah.
I don't mean he discarded it, but I mean as
he mentions that, and then there's my hypothesis,
right,
and then there's the third one, which is, as you say, there's a process of seduction. Whatever.
Right, right. Well, he mentioned the idea.
That seems improbable, given the time limits.
All right. As I say, it's obvious from the fact that there are so many different opinions over here.
Right.
There
must have been a difference of opinion on
that
time.
You can't take a stopwatch and say, you know, that, 30 seconds, right? Or 45 seconds, that's the job, or something like that.
It's not a mechanical thing.
Well, I think that's
that's why they're trying to put a time limit on an emotional and a physical thing, which is not measurable, really.
Right.
Well, except
or to a standard, anyway.
I think that's, you know, for the last 2 weeks, that's...